Welcome and bienvenidos to Mariachi DNA, a puro mariachi podcast. Grab your favorite tequila, sit back and enjoy.
And here we are in continuation with our celebration for Mariachi USA, our 35th at the Hollywood Bowl.
35 years, Rodri.
No lo digas más.
I know. Coño. I just have to say all the time, 35 years. I mean, how is that possible? We're in our late 20s.
And 35 years has made Mariachi USA the mariachi capital of America. And our podcast today is going to be more exciting than the next. I don't know how that can happen, but it is. We have a very phenomenal guest who was at Mariachi USA in 1990. But before we talk about 1990, I'd like to go back with our guest to his family, amazing, phenomenal family history in Mariachi that goes back into Mexico and then traveled here to the United States. Our guest today is none other than producer, music composer, mariachi director, owner of very successful restaurants, Jose Hernandez, bienvenido.
One and only.
Buenas, ¿cómo están los dos, Rodri, Anthony?
Doing well, sir. Thank you.
We're better now.
Oh, it's great to talk to you guys. Been a while, and you guys are doing amazing things.
Hey, so tell us about, you know, your dad was such a character. I used to love sitting and talking to your dad. I think he's the only man I was taller than other than Armando Manzanero. But man, that
my dad wasn't tall.
No. But boy, he had the strength and the stories of, he was legendary. Tell us about Don Esteban.
Well, my father was born in 1924 in a little ranch called La Cofradía, Jalisco. I thought it was the only cofradía in Jalisco, but we found out through some investigation there that there were about 27 cofradías in Jalisco. My father was a violin player. He started playing at 7 years old, vihuela, and then picked up the violin. My grandfather, Jose, taught my father how to play. My grandfather was a violin player, as my great-grandfather also. You know, it goes back. They told me that it goes back to a little town called Miraflores, Jalisco, and in 1762, they found all these marriage certificates and all this. They started investigating my family for about a year and a half ago, and they found all these records and, yeah, musicians all the way back. And
amazing.
My dad really grew up, you know, around a lot of musicians in the little ranch, and they immigrated. You know, we're all immigrants, right? But they immigrated to the town of Chapala when he was about 12 years old, and because of work, they stopped working. They stopped working in agriculture because they were agricultores, right? And then the weekends they would play in mariachi. And in Chapala, that was their full-time job. Yeah, well, my father, you know, he and Mariachi Chapala were in the 50s. You know, 3 months, 6 months, go back to Mexicali. But we also found like a work visa from 1943.
Oh my goodness.
1943. Yeah, he was here in 1943 with a mariachi. And I remember my father telling me that he was here during World War II. And it seemed strange to them because he says that most of the audience were just women, you know, because their husbands were at war. And we found the work visa and the work permits and all that stuff. They were paying them $100 a week.
How much?
The mariachi. The whole mariachi, $300 a week.
Dios mío.
So it's a really beautiful story. You know, my dad had six sons and two daughters, and the six boys, you know, were musicians. And, you know, all this information, it's just incredible. You know, their permits when they came, when they were hired, when they went back. And then when they moved to Mexicali, just that whole thing, it's such a beautiful story, you know, because my father, they were always looking to get better as a group, Mariachi Chapala. And when they came to Mexicali, you know, in the 50s, in the early 50s, they wanted to make that group bigger, right? So they there was a bank teller in Mexicali. His name was Heriberto Molina. He was a bank teller. El cura, they call him.
Oh, know? Yes, of course. Yeah,
he was a bank teller. And my dad had heard him sing before at the place where they played, right? So he goes, hey, weren't you the guy singing? He goes, oh, sí. He said, do you play an instrument? He goes, pues, yo estaba estudiando en el seminario. He was going to be a priest, and that, por eso le dicen el cura.
Yes. Yeah.
And but they kicked him out or something. So,
yeah. I wonder why.
He didn't make it. he goes, pero toco poquito violín. Ah, muy bien, dice, ¿por qué no? Vienes a un ensayo, dice, y allí te ponemos al tiro, you know, we'll help you. You know, so yeah, he joined the group, and he was in the group for about 2 or 3 years. And then they wanted to make even the group bigger, so then they went for another violinist, and his name was Mateo. He played in Guadalajara. But when my father went to look for him, they said that Mateo had joined this group called Los Violines de Villa Fontana, just a very well-known string group. Yes. There were like about 10 violins, and they played music from all over the world, right? But he was so good, you know, that they asked him to be in that group. So when he was in Guadalajara, he goes, you know, he was asking for recommendations. They told him, you know, there's this young kid que toca violín con su papá. Se llama Nati Cano, Natividad. You know, so my dad went to go talk to Nati's dad to ask permission to bring Nati to Mexicali. And Nati was 15 or 16. He was young, you know. So, yeah, well, no, Nati was dying to go because it era la frontera, right? There was more work. There was more possibilities to get a permit to come to the States and study English. So, yeah, Nati went. He joined Mariachi Chapala, and my father used to tell me that Nati would always get a permit to cross to Calexico, the border town, and study English. And my dad goes, nosotros de tontos, you know, we'd make fun of him. Ay, muy gringo. You know? But, you know, he goes, Nati was young, you know, and he was, you know, ambitious, you know, in the good sense of the word.
Yes, and had a vision.
He had a vision, you know, so... Mariachi Chapala played a lot of classical pieces that Nati would help them put together because Nati had sort of a classical background.
How many musicians were in the original Chapala?
Well, in the original Chapala, there were about six or seven of them. Yo voy a decir seis porque era mi abuelo, mi tío Chato y mi papá y los tres hermanos Sosa. So there were six of them. Wow. You know, they were like two families, you know, they got together.
You know, Jose, and, I love how you use the word ambitious because those are one of the words that really have brought us to where we're at because of the ambition of your father, of those around him, of Nati, of yourself that continues. You know, that ambition raises us. You know, we don't just settle. We strive for more. And I love that you said they were ambitious, you know.
And it's sort of, you know, a lot of people don't know that there was, you know, my dad knew Nati as a young kid, you know, and Nati almost grew up sort of like in his teen years with Pedro, my brother, and with Chencho. So Antonio, he knew them very well, right? So when they came over, you know, I think he worked maybe 6 years with Mariachi Chapala here, back and forth from Mexicali to LA. And
Jose's brother, Pedro, that he's speaking of is Pedro Rey, who later went on to form Los Galleros.
Yes, my brother sort of, they were in their teens also.
Oh, the mariachi, you know? Rebels. I see them all as this little el grupito.
It was crazy because, you know, the Mariachi Chapala was a group that had been together already 20 years when Nati joined. And that group had a lot of experience. You know, they were backing up Lola in 1950, 1951, Jose Alfredo in 1951, when they were beginning their careers, right, with Lola and Jose Alfredo. And I found some really cool pictures of them and me with them. But it was a great place for Nati to get more experience with mariachi. Right? But at the same time, Nati was feeding them music that he had learned, the classical music, right? So the musical palette of mariachi, cool. They were the only group playing semi-classical pieces. Right. And it was pretty nice, you know, when they came to Los Angeles, they, I mean, they had a great group. They had great singers. You know, they had Ricardo González. I think by the time they came to LA, yeah, Heriberto Molina wasn't with them. Rubén Fuentes heard Chapala play in Mexicali. They were backing up Miguel Aceves Mejia. And then they went to go hear Chapala play at the nightclub where they were playing. And Rubén heard, Rubén heard este El Cura, you know, sting.
Y lo robó.
And he invited Vargas, you know, that was like 1952, 53, something like that. So, you know, they were in many ways, we've always been connected, everyone.
Right.
You know, my father was always, like I said, in front of Chapala. Then after that, he, when the, I found a picture the other day of Mariachi Chapala and the early camperos together in $1 million. They were both on the stage.
Wow.
And my brother Pedro and Chencho were with, I think they were with Chapala. They were helping my dad. Antonio and Chepe were helping. They were with Nati, with Los Camperos. my family in the beginning, you know, they were helping Nati a lot, you know, with the group. You know. So Tonya would join, and then Tonya would leave, and Chencho would join, and he was always inviting my brother.
And Chencho was with Camperos for quite a while.
Oh, my man. He started with them when he was 16.
Which, by the way, you know, Chencho Crescencio Hernandez, in my eyes, but I also know in the mariachi world's eyes, was him and Pedro were known as the best trumpets in the mariachi world.
Yes, yes.
And also as teachers, many trumpet players, male and female alike, have emulated his style and just the talent that he had to the structure of how they both played.
Yeah, they had a very, very sensitive way of also playing mariachi. They brought a lot of sensitivity to the mariachi style, you know, in the early 60s. And both of them played with Silvestre. You know, Silvestre was still playing with Vargas at that time. So they recorded many, many, many records with Vargas, you know, starting with El Pote Campesino, that album. I think they recorded about 4 or 5 songs from that album together.
Great album, by the way. If no one's heard of that, please listen, because it shows the versatility of the musicianship of mariachi. And I always say, you know, yes, we play mariachi, but we're musicians. You know, we're pure musicians, and that's where the respect has to go to, you know, to being musicians. And that's one of the albums that reflect what we can do.
And you know, through the years, you know, mariachi has always been evolving, you know, to this day. You know, you see, if you put things that are being played today by mariachis and you put them 30 years ago, when I was in New York, you know, everybody would be having a heart attack.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Some did have heart attacks 30 years ago.
I tell my reinas, I go, man, if they would see a picture of a mariachi suit with red high heels.
Reinas is Jose's group, the female group that he launched. It's Reinas de Los Angeles. Outstanding.
You know, Jose, one of the things I find fascinating as someone who was not born into a mariachi family, you know, didn't have that lineage behind me, and I hear the stories of you know, the younger days of your family and even of Vargas, and how y'all were basically a big family and helping and knowing each other. And yes, some people might think that, no, they started individually. They never, you know, there were different lines, different lanes, and they never merged. No, it came from one big, you know,
a tree that unity. Had endless roots.
Yeah. Can you just talk about that a little bit?
Well, you know, what you're saying, that there was a connection. You know, you say, you know, Vargas, Camperos, El Chapala, Mariachi Los Gallos, Los Galleros, y El Sol de México, we are all connected. That's why, you know, in you could say 20, 30 years ago, people would say, oh, the animosity between the groups. It's not that weird. It's like one family, you know, a family quarrel.
It's like, who's on first? No, pues se toca a ti, no me toca a mí. No, yo quiero.
Oh, yeah. It was so silly. It was so crazy. I would go, I didn't understand it because I was raised here in the States, you know. So,
and you're the youngest of the batch.
Yeah, yeah. So I was, you know, my the way I saw things were very much different from the generation before me.
So what was your personal launch point? Because I know you went to school here and went to school, high school, met Teresa, married, and then had your own kids. But before you got to that point, at what point did you know you wanted to be mariachi?
I knew since I was a kid, because my mother said that I started singing at 3 and a half when we moved here to L.A. We stayed at a musician, one of the musician compañeros of my dad, Mariachi Chapala, Don Agustin, at his house in San Fernando Valley for 3 months. Then we moved to the projects in East Los Angeles, and we lived there for about 7 months. So yeah, I used to sing as a kid, right? And then my mother used to say that, digo, no, mijo, tú cantabas como alguien ya mayor, pero con voz de niño. And she would tell me, you know, the little guainitos outside, you know, they knocked my door asking for you to come out and sing to them. And you would go outside and you would charge them a quarter each. They would give me a quarter.
Ay, Dios mío.
I learned the business very at a very young age. But I always, you know, I always sang the songs, you know, Los Guapangos de Miguel Aceves, you know, pues todas las canciones que le gustaban a mi mamá y a mi papá. And at 10 years old, I wanted to play trumpet because my dad used to see Noches Tapatías, a program from Mexico City.
Yes.
And he, my brother Pedro, and playing with my dad Vargas. And I would see my dad's face so proud. And Chuy was already playing trumpet in the school band in the middle school. And I asked my dad, can you rent a trumpet for me? I want to play trumpet. So I did. I joined the band at 10 years old in the fourth grade. And from then on, you know, I finished to high school. Then I went to music school. But professionally playing the trumpet, I started playing at 16 with Chencho, my brother, because he had the mariachi in Disneyland. So I played with Mariachi Los Gallos for about, I think, 3 months. And then with another small mariachi called Mariachi Guadalajara, we opened up all the rest, you know, most of the restaurants, the El Toritos. Remember the El Toritos? I mean, they're still around, right?
Yes, they are. There's a couple. But
this was with the original owner, Mr. Cano, what's his last name? But yeah, most of those restaurants were over there in Newport Beach. Newport Beach and Downey. I was already playing nights and going to school, high school in the morning. And at 17, I joined Los Galleros with my brother Pedro. And there, I was there for 10 years. And then I opened Cielito Lindo.
In El Monte.
It went pretty quick. You know, I when I was 18, I started going to music school. And I finished at about 22. I played with Nati, I think, in 1980. I formed Sol in 1981. And then we just stayed as a studio group, you know, just recording. Right. But I went back. I helped Nati through 1982, 83 for about a year. Me and Chuy did. And then we went back with Pedro for about 2.5 years. And then I formed Sol, you know, because I had bought Cielito Lindo in Sao Camari. For 34 years we were there, you know.
Yeah. You know, I think one of the turning points for you and what you did was going to music school and learning arrangements and learning not just mariachi arrangements, but, you know, a complete arrangement, orchestral, you know, classical. And you brought that out in your arrangements and changed the landscape, really, with what you're doing. Talk a little bit about that, because I remember seeing your ensemble. You'd bring cellos in and at the restaurant gigs, you do little orchestras.
I tell them, you know, the younger musicians now, you know, you did this. I go, well, you got to understand, I'm from a different generation than my brothers, you know, and Nati. I'm a different generation. I was raised here, right? I had the opportunity to go to music school after high school, so my music education is different than theirs. They had to go to work, start working at 12 years old, 13 years old. You know, they didn't have that opportunity to go formally study music, you know. They just studied as kids. So, yeah, they gave me the opportunity to learn film scoring and just arranging, you know, in general. And I've always, I've never limited myself, you know, to say, okay, I only play this. You know, so I think the generation before me, they didn't like that. They wanted me to stay in the box of just traditional mariachi music, and I just couldn't do that. Rodri, you know, knows a lot of that, you know, because she's always thought outside the box too. Rodri, you've always, you know, been very open, you know, about doing things differently than how they've been done traditionally.
Yes, and got slammed for it too.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's something that's beautiful. Music education, like I said, I had a great band teacher at the age of 10. I remember the LA Philharmonic going to my high school playing, and we were like, oh my gosh, I know how important it is for kids, you know, to see professionals come to their school, work with them, and stuff like that. That's why I'm very big in music education. You know, I mean, I remember teaching in Cal Poly Pomona in 1980, doing a mariachi night class.
Oh, goodness.
I mean, it goes back a long way. And starting in 1988, in Cerritos College, I had the night class there. And then the foundation in 1991. So it was really nice. Those years were really, really nice because the growth of mariachi music was very, very active, you know, and Mariachi USA has a lot to do with that, because I think that was like the biggest and continues to be the biggest, you know, venue for mariachi entertainment. It's 35 years. It's easy to say it, but very hard to keep alive, you know.
And somehow it does, because, again, you see the younger groups, you know, at one point it's, so what happens? Because Mariachi USA was born out of my desire to feature and showcase mariachis from the USA. Those, all of you that made your living here, worked here. And those are the ones that I wanted to showcase. And I got a lot of strife for that as well. I mean, that first year we invited Mariachi Vargas. And I remember hiring you as our music director. And you... you made the arrangements for the Mariachi USA theme song, and we recorded it in your little studio. And those days, those memories are as if it was happening right now. And I remember that it was tough for Rumen to get the Vargas to play your arrangement. And I said, you don't have to play it, but he is my music director. And he wrote, he composed the finale, and you don't have to. And he says, no, we're going to be here and we're going to support. And I had a friendship with Ruben, but I also respected who he was in the mariachi world.
Yes, of course.
And he grew to respect you and to applaud you for the work that you were doing here. And it, again, it's in the United States, which was very different than the traditional.
Rodri, remember the Jose Alfredo thing that we did with his voice and everything?
Yes.
One of the first years, and he was, Don Ruben wasn't too hip about it, right?
But nope.
I go, oye, Don Ruben, I go, todos los arreglos pues son suyos, son de usted. No, I just did the transition, right, of the songs. I had called him, asking him, you think you could get me the voice of Jose Alfredo Jimenez? You know, the original voice, just the voice of Gracias, the song Gracias, and he tried, and no, and he produced it, and RCA wouldn't let anyone have that voice.
Yep.
Then I called Alfredo Jr., y tampoco, and then I started thinking, I go, well, God, I do all these CD release parties for BMG, you know, which is or RCA.
Yes.
And so I called him, and they gave me the voice of Jose Alfredo Jimenez, just the voice, the original track.
Wow.
Of it. That we use there at Mariachi USA.
Yep.
It was and Don Rubén tells me, oye, ¿y esa voz, Pepe, dónde?
¿De dónde la sacaste?
Pero si ni a mí me la dieron. Yo les hago muchos favores aquí en Los Ángeles cuando vienen con Guadalupe Pineda y vienen con Rocío Banquels, you know, Sol de México. The group that does all those CD release parties with them, you know. It was just crazy. But yeah, we did a lot of stuff. I remember the Bernstein. Remember when Leonard Bernstein, we did West Side Story?
Oh, yes. I love that arrangement. I still play it in my memory.
We did a lot.
The first time you did New York, New York on that the bowl stage, you brought the house down. Oh my goodness. My God. That was a standing ovation.
when we did the rap. Remember when we did the mariachi?
Yes. Hey, so, you know, we're talking about emotions here and what I'm calling mariachi DNA, because it's, to me, you again are another musician. It's the epitome of what mariachi DNA is. It's something that just takes over every sense of you know, yourselves, of who you are, and you more than anyone else because of your trajectory and the history that you have. And so the question is, what did you feel when you were on that stage, first as a musician? I just want to know, as a musician, and then as the music director for all those groups, Camperos, Vargas, mm-hmm. Campanas, what that felt like. But you first as just as a musician getting up there and playing on that stage.
Well, I just remember everyone when we got on stage, when we were rehearsing, when we saw all those seats, we go, oh my God, everybody was in awe, right? And, but actually when the show started and everything got started, because I think that first year was Linda and Vicky, right?
Yes, las madrinas.
it was amazing. It was just amazing. It was electrifying. It was fun. I mean, at the end of the day, I think Don Ruben was always very, very, very nice to me, you know, and I didn't like the fact that some people would throw stones at me behind my back, you know, so I would rub it in. Yeah, you never limited me to say, Jose, I don't know if you should do that. I mean, when I did the rap, I did it because I thought I would have fun with the people. I thought people would like it.
Absolutely.
I remember the Ruben had tequilitas in the front. He had the booth, right?
Yes.
And when he saw us do the rap and the people were going crazy, I remember him coming backstage after the show. And you just have a poquito.
Tomadito, yeah.
Tomadito, he comes, Pepe. And I go, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Aquí viene.
He goes, Pepe. He goes, tú eres el único que permito hacer, que permito que haga cosas de esas porque las haces bien. Wow. And he told, you know what he goes, ¿y sabes qué? Si haces una grabación mezclando el rap con mariachi, va a ser un éxito increíble. Así. Oh, my God, I couldn't believe it.
That's amazing.
Yeah. You know, but, you know, I've always been open. I mean, you know, Campanas, I've always been in the beginning, you guys, you know, played very traditional. And then right. You started off, you know, to the Tejano thing. And it was awesome to see.
Right, right. Right. And that's what I was going to.
That flavor that you know.
Yeah. And I think that's an interesting subject matter, you know, because we've kind of, you know, been side by side with Campanas and Sol de Mexico on the entertainment. We really understand entertainment. You understand entertainment. Rodri understands entertainment. And, you know, it's not only just in the musicality, but it's presenting a show, you know, that people, you know, they hear what they hear, but then they also see, you know, what they hear. And you know, not to just stand there and you know, play in black trajes. You know, there's a little more that we can give them. And I know you've done that, you know, with your white trajes when you first came out and us, you know, we've been called, you know, piñatas on stage because, you know, we wear two different colors from a jacket to the pant. But, you know, it's part of, you know, I think like our DNA to go a little further and talk a little bit about that entertainment part of yourself and Sol.
Well, you know, when you're doing your things on your own, right, and producing your own stuff, well, you have a green light to do anything. But when you're working with another producer, you're working with somebody that's directing the show, well, you have to have respect, right, for a certain protocol. The great thing about Mariachi USA was that we were open to everything. I remember Little Joe going for the first year.
Yes.
And, you know, Little Joe going for the first year. And when he told me what songs, you know, he would like to do, and I go, oh, man, I gotta arrange Las Nubes, I gotta arrange, and I needed to sound, you know, with the Tejano sound, with the brass, right? So, you know, I started arranging the songs for him so we could present it in the Hollywood Bowl, and he did awesome. He did great. You know, I think you guys were there. Weren't you guys playing?
Yes, we were there.
You guys played that year. And I don't know if you guys were playing still a little bit on the traditional side, but when we played that Tejano stuff with him, it was so fun. And the people loved it. And Joe, you know, Joe is Joe, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, that was a great platform that Mariachi USA to be able to do that, with little Joe. So I think the direction that Campanas took was awesome. I think every mariachi has gone through that in their generation.
Right,
Because, I mean, Vargas recorded Pasos Doble. Everybody went, you know, traditional. You know, Pedro's recorded the whole American album, you know, North of the Border. Everybody experimented when they were younger.
Right, right. And like, you know, that's growth. Because, you know, and the other thing also is, you know, there's more fans and music fans that are from different parts of the world. And I know it's important for us to connect with them, you know, to play, you know, songs with Japanese arrangements, you know, Japanese songs or. You know, from all over the world. And that's, you know, that's how we welcome everybody and let them know, hey, you know, this is who we are and we're with you in this.
I mean, last October we recorded Today's Your Birthday, China, is a very traditional song. And we recorded it in Mandarin. You know, they asked us to do a whole thing, you know, in a video, you know, to show all over China. So
it's amazing. You
know, there's no limit to what Maria.
Exactly. No limit.
How exciting. Congratulations. That's fabulous. And then I'd love to share with our audience a little bit about the influence that you have had on your own children and what they're doing now.
Oof, well, you know, I think it's something that comes very natural to them. I think as kids being surrounded by music and always going to these events that are so beautiful, right? Full of energy, you know, they get that sense of wanting to play the music. My kids, you know, at a very young age, they started singing. Rodri, you know, since they were, you know,
since they were born.
Twins, you know, the Melody now, you know, she graduated from NYU and she studied the music business, and her mentor at NYU was Lauren Davis, that Clive Davis's daughter.
Oh, wow.
You know, right there, you know, so yeah, the Melody has become a pretty amazing businesswoman. You know, she started a label for her church, and they're just awesome. She's a composer and a singer. She does really good. She also did stuff, you know, in the secular world, and some songs recorded by J-Lo, you know, at our Melody. Things like that. One of my twins, Crystal, she graduated from TCU. A few months ago, and a certified music teacher and violinist.
I remember the twins being part of our production for a Christmas show that we did, and to see them now, I'm just amazed. I knew they had talent back then, and you know, as they were part of our Mariachi USA Christmas show, and I share that pride with you when I see their accomplishments, only because I was for a little moment in time directed them on that production. But congratulations on all the successes of your children and of yourself. It's just amazing.
They all love music. You know, Karina played with Reina for a while. She played violin with them and went off to do her own career. You know, Melody's in music. Christian also, you know, he plays the trumpet and piano and sings very beautiful, but he wants to be a lawyer. So
smart.
He wants to be a lawyer. You know, so
entertainment lawyer? I didn't hear that.
Lawyer, yeah. He wants to be an entertainment lawyer.
Excellent.
And yeah, so you know, there's always music, you know, that surrounds us, you know. Plus, you know, they have over here at the new restaurant over here, Casa del Sol in the city. I think that's where we're, you know, and you notice how I sneak that new commercial?
Oh, hey, I was gonna bring it out. There's, you know, shameless promotion. Casa del Sol is Jose's what they call planta, but that's your baby, and it's in Orange County, and we congratulate you on that. Bravo. And everything that you're doing, it doesn't seem like it's been that long, but boy, you know, people think that it's like an overnight sensation, and it's a lot of history and a lot of work and a lot of years that go into what you yourself have created for you and your family and all those musicians that have come through Jose Hernandez. And bravo to everything that you've done in the recording industry. You're not just a musician. You have really gone the gamut of doing just about everything in the industry.
I've been very, very blessed, you know, to be able to work with a lot of artists and produce their records and arrange and
name a couple real fast. Name a couple, Jose. Come on, let's brag.
Ufu, Jose Staira, Guadalupe Pineda, Jose Feliciano, Vic Carr, Shaila Durcal, Pinoza Paz, El Buki, you know, the things that we did with El Buki, with Mariachi, like I mentioned, Tania Libertad, and recorded, you know, some stuff.
I know, and Angel Ochoa, because we were talking to her last night and listening to some of the...
Con Ángeles también, you know, so...
And Juan Gabriel también, no?
Juan was the first one, you know, in 1982. I started recording quite a few things with him, and, you know, Alto Aida Cuevas, Rocío, Lucha Villa. It's been a long 43 years. I was telling the guys, you know, in Seoul, I go, you realize that I think I might be like the longest lasting music director of a mariachi group that writes the music that has the same sound. I think, you see, Juan has been up there. When tomaron a las campanas, it must have been, what, 1980?
We're celebrating the 45th year this year of founding of Campana. Yeah. So
it's pretty much, you know, I think Cobrens would have the same ones.
Yeah, Cobrens.
Campana, you know, and we're still going strong, you know, as directors. So the sound of the mariachi. Our mariachis hasn't changed, really, you know. It's been pretty consistent, you know. So it's pretty neat to continue doing that. The hard thing is, you know, when you write for your group and you have a certain style of playing, is that when you retire, you know, you have to try to find somebody that's going to continue.
Well, I know you're looking, because I see you in Texas a lot, and I love it. I love that you go into the mariachi conferences and education, and there's a lot of great talent, you know, down in the valley. And I think you might have picked up a couple.
Definitely. Yeah. The mindset still is different in Texas, and I love it, you know, the music education background, you know, awesome.
Well, I'll say publicly that my total respect and admiration for you as the maestro, growing up in a family of maestros, how you became the maestro, you know, for many of us. And I enjoy working with you and being on the stage. And you know, sometimes as we get older, we look to each other to find our energy when we're a little weak. And you're one of the ones that, you know, I kind of look at and say, okay, I can do this another year. I can order another traje. Let's do it.
And also the ability for us to celebrate each other and know it's so important to know where we've come from in order to know where we're going. And and every step do with truth and honor to whatever our trade is and our mission. I know that I just see myself as a guardian of everything that you all have done to make sure that it's well cared for and that it's put on the best stages possible. And our audiences have been growing younger and younger, obviously, you know, at the Hollywood Bowl. We've lost a lot of audience, but we've also cultivated and been able to market to the younger audiences, which in turn are, you know, huge fans of all of yours and has created a following and the ability. For me, it's always, yes, promote the heck out of, you know, out of whatever you do with us, because, and I in turn do the same for all of you. I want you all to be in every single venue that you can be, everywhere in the United States and all around the world, because that's why we do what we do. And as a non-Mexican, pero soy más mexicana, una cubana más mexicana que many of my friends.
Yes, 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 claro. But you know, for us, it's pretty amazing to see, you know, the boom in mariachi right now, right? Right? Oh, wow. I mean, I remember I think it was in Argentina, 2007 with Luis Miguel, right? We were in Argentina, and the guys from his band, you know, they call me, you know, in my room, they go, oye, Pepe, dice, hay unos muchachos aquí que preguntan por ti. They're asking for you. They're in the hotel lobby. And I'm thinking, well, I don't know anybody in Argentina. Who do I know, you know? And there were mariachis from Argentina.
Yeah.
That wanted to meet me and the boys from Seoul, right? So I went down there, and man, they treated us so nice, Rodri. I mean, they took us on our days off, you know, to see more of Buenos Aires. And I did a special workshop for them, for the mariachis there, you know, just to express my thank yous. It was pretty cool, you know. But every place, I mean, I've gone to Venezuela several times to do workshops. Bolivia,
Colombia. Ecuador,
Peru, Colombia, I mean,
Cuba, Cuba. When I was in Cuba, para las quinceañeras no ponen disco ni nada, ni banda. Lo que ponen, banda de salsa, ponen mariachis. These guys, yeah. There was one particular group in Havana. They turned this car, because you know the challenge over there. And yes. They took a car, half of a car and half of a boat. And they created this como una combi because they had to be able to fit the guitarrón. So because it rained so much in Cuba, they had to, you know, the instruments all have to be undercover, and they don't have special, you know, cases or anything. It's like agarra el instrumento y vámonos. And when I went, I took a lot of cuerdas, you know, strings. They thought I was giving them diamonds and emeralds because they were guitar strings for guitarrón. They didn't even know what a guitarrón string looked like. And that's all I took in my luggage. I just took, ahí lo metía escondidas, and it was fabulous. But this particular combi, I couldn't believe it. I said, this kind of looks like a boat. And they said, pues sí, era un barco que no servía. And so we put it together, and they soldered it, and it was the mariachi van.
It's like, once in a while, those musicians, they'll send me messages, you know, they wanted me to go, you know, spend a few days with them and work with them and teach them, right? And I told them, well, the only way that I would go is it has to be an official invitation.
Cultural invite, yes.
Yeah, I can't go any other way. And, you know, they went to their mayor, and me dijeron que it was practically impossible.
Yeah, it gets complicated. But, you know, we have great hope for our world. And it's a world that has to be filled with music because, you know, music heals, music enriches. And in wrapping up, we want to thank you as one of those that heals and spreads that music.
I mean, we were in Cocula doing a show in Cocula. I guess it must have been like, 9 years ago.
De Cocula es el mariachi.
a group from Cuba had gone to El Encuentro. And they heard that we were going to be in Cocula, so they stayed. They got permission to stay an extra month, right? They wanted to open for us in Cocula.
Oh, my goodness.
Y los oímos tocar, they go, oh, my God, like every song that they played of Javier Solís, they had a singer that sang just like Javier Solís. And then they would play a Vicente Fernández song, and the singer sang just like Vicente. We were like, oh, my God, this is amazing. And then we did the show, and, you know, they came, and we took pictures. And then, you know, there was a break, and they came out with sus guayaberas, and they turned into a salsa orchestra. The same
mariachi. Love it.
And they played the rest of the night, and it was dancing. We couldn't believe it. They go, ¿qué música son estos cubanitos? Wow. We were so, you know, so excited. It was, you know, there's so many stories, you know, that we've experienced, you know, with the great musicians.
Y lo que falta, the best is yet to come.
Well,
we look forward to many, many more years of collaborating in whichever way we can, at the very least, standing by the sidelines and watching you perform and continue your growth as an individual musician and all the other things that you do. And we're going to head down to your restaurant to enjoy your brunches and listen to all of you play and have a little tequilazo toast to celebrate 35th at Mariachi USA.
That's right. And
it's 35 for you, and this year is 30 for Reina. Can you believe that?
Amazing. Wow. Well, you know, Jose, you have a open mic here whenever you would like to. You know, honestly, we can talk for days and days and days about the importance of mariachi education, mariachi music, mariachi representation, the culture, and our history. But thank you very much. Thank you very much for lending your voice to our podcast and
sharing that story that is so important for all to yes. know and to understand that it just didn't happen 10 years ago, that we're looking at, you know, hundreds of years of the trajectory of mariachi and how your family had a deep impression on creating this mariachi DNA for all of us.
Well, you know, I think the baton, as far as shows are concerned, you know, the baton was passed on to you, Rodri, you know, and you've done a great job there with Uri Nguyen.
I'm out of Kleenex, so please.
And I really congratulate you. You're doing, you know, you've always done it with great respect and professionalism, and I wish you the best of luck for your 35th anniversary, okay?
Thank you. Thank you. That means a lot coming from the Hernandez current patriarch and what you represent to the mariachi world. And I will continue to be devoted and dedicated to always presenting mariachi in the best light possible and on the greatest stage ever, Hollywood Bowl. Gracias, Jose.
Thank you so much. Thank you guys have a great day. Bye-bye.
If you sing El Rey, you have mariachi DNA.
Mariachi USA, the mariachi capital of America.